Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
This is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Spotsylvania County Schools here this morning for what is going to be a really, really, really interesting show. No pressure on you guys, but you guys are. This is going to be a great panel here to talk about Mental Health Awareness Month and a lot of things going on and just things that we all need to know. Shannon Wingert is here, the supervisor of elementary school counseling. Tamara Files-Store is here, the coordinator of school psychology, and Lisa Dolan is here, the coordinator of school social work. Good morning to everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ted.
It's all good. It's so good to have you all in. Like I said, there's a lot going on with Mental Health Awareness Month, and we'll get into all of that. But first of all, there are a lot of events, and especially on Tuesday with Spotsylvania County Schools that we'll focus in on. But let you guys all just kind of talk about what's coming up really in the next week or so in most cases.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so we have a lot going on. We're really proud that our division is recognizing May as Mental Health Awareness Month. Starting on May 12th through May 16th, we're going to have a division-wide Spirit Week. So we're asking all of our schools to participate just to show support and awareness for mental health. And also on May 12th, our school board will officially be recognizing May as Mental Health Awareness Month and doing a proclamation.
Then on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, there is a really, really big event, just a great opportunity to be surrounded by a lot of resources at Massaponics High School.
We're going to do a wellness discussion, mental health and wellness discussion. And so we have a panel that's going to be providing some information about wellness and health for families. And then we have some vendors coming in and some activities for kids that we're going to be doing. We're going to make stress balls and we're going to do desk drumming. And I think we've got a yoga person who's going to come and do a yoga obstacle course and some different kinds of fun things that really are about that whole child and wellness to help support the education of our kids.
Well, and Lisa, this is a really great opportunity for families to get a lot of resources.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Because those vendors are going to be there, they can come in and talk to people and get some information and have some very direct interaction with people that are really focused on health and wellness in our community for our kids.
Mm-hmm. And given that it's right before our summer break, we're focusing a lot on activities that kids can do over the summer, some recommendations for parents on how to keep kids active and supporting that overall mental wellness and physical wellness.
Well, Tamara, I would think that it's something like this. And I guess this time of year, you start to transition a little bit to plan for those kinds of things, of knowing you're not going to see kids and they're going to be at home and you want to give parents some ideas of things.
Absolutely. How to keep kids occupied, how to keep their minds alert and still learning even. We can do reading, we can do math practice that is not necessarily the school format, but keeping kids active. We also want them physically active and socially active, engaged in their community, engaged with other children.
To have something like a community resource, that sounds like a lot of, there's a lot of work and I guess a lot of people involved in making something like this happen.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. And we have Parks and Rec coming. We have our local library, I believe, is confirmed to
The YMCA is coming. Some of our private providers in the area that provide outpatient practice.
Yeah.
We're also going to be having a meal for families. Publix is working with us to feed the attendees, and there'll be an opportunity for book giveaways to help, again, build parents' toolbox on supporting their children.
It's so interesting on mental health. I mean, everybody talks about it. It's in all areas, and especially with school. I mean, it's been a problem in schools and discussed in schools for years, but boy, the COVID years really heightened it. And since then, things like this, you have really focused on making things available to families and to kids.
effective health and wellness programs really improve academic improvement or academic achievement. So we're really trying to get that message out that, you know, we need that focus on the whole child in order to support them. And our community is a community that responds. We have some good resources, mm-hmm. and it really, you know, the school can be that hub to help link people into where do you go for those particular supports and services.
I think of us over the years, Lisa, when you've been in, and I mean, even way before COVID, I mean, you've been dealing, and I'm sure all of you have for years and years with training and looking for the latest kinds of things in this field.
Looking for the best of the best. You know, what are those evidence-based practices that really mm-hmm. support our kids and support our families to have the best outcomes that they can have long-term as well as short-term kinds of needs.
A little bit about all of you. Lisa, you've been in before and talked about just, we always talk about the rock star social workers
yes.
in Spotsylvania County Schools. But talk a little bit about for families or for people who don't know what social workers do.
Sure. So social workers are really, we call ourselves the homeschool community link for our system, and that we want a bridge between, you know, what's happening at home, what's happening in school, and what's happening in the community. About 50% of our social work time is really spent on kind of direct services to kids. That might be kind of a counseling, direct services, might be some family support, might be some group kinds of things. And then about 50% of their practice is really more macro level case management oriented, that linking to those resources and supporting and even looking at the community and trying to build those practices that will support students. I mean, that's really where Treasure House came from too as well. And the supports that we do for our families that are homeless in the community, and those linkages that came from that community-based practice of looking at, that's a very vulnerable population, how yeah. do we support them? And so, yeah, the social work team is really focused on vulnerabilities and homeschool community.
Shannon, you're a superintendent of elementary school counseling. Talk about what that involves and all that you do.
Yes. So we have 32 amazing elementary school counselors across our 17 schools. And we also have counselors at our middle schools and our high schools. And we really work with all students. We're considered a tier one support. So that's all students. Mm. And we really focus on helping students with academic success. We also have a high focus in career and college readiness, and even starting in kindergarten with career exploration, and also helping support the emotional needs of students. So we're part of what's considered the Office of Mental Health and Wellness, and that's where our three domains kind of yeah. work together and to support, again, that whole student, because they can't receive the instruction if they are not accessible to it.
How did you decide to do this as a career?
I was a school counselor for 10 years in our school system.
Okay.
I was an elementary school counselor. So got to work at some amazing elementary schools, and now just have transitioned over to what I say is helping our adults support our learners.
Yeah.
So it's just really important. I grew up in a family of educators, so found myself in education as well. My husband works in education, so we are just surrounded by it, and this is a great community that sees the value in what we need to do for our students.
Boy, in counseling, I know with my own kids and just seeing things, I mean, it's so important to the school counselors. So thank you, what you all do. Tamara, talk about your school psychology and what you all do.
Absolutely. So in Spotsylvania County, we have 13 school psychologists. Also on our team are 6 educational diagnosticians. But as school psychologists, we spend most of our time in individual assessments of children, ranging from the ages of 2 through 22. And we are
evaluating those children for the need for services or interventions. So that is the majority of our time. We then connect the information we get from those evaluations to communicate to parents and to our school staff. I often say to children that I'm working with them because if I can understand how they learn, I can help their teachers teach them the most effective way. We spend a lot of time in consultation with our teachers, our school staff, our families, and with children directly for a wide variety of academic, social, emotional, and behavioral concerns. One of my favorite parts of the job is working on school-based mental health teams with my school social workers and school counselors. That team approach with all of us coming from our different disciplines to support the mental wellness of children is amazing and very gratifying.
How did you get into education?
I stumbled into it. I was training to become a clinical psychologist. Yeah. And found that I needed to be a little more active in different areas. I needed to not just participate in counseling. So I stumbled into school psychology, and I'm so glad I did because I get to work with teachers. I get to work with families. I get to work with a wide variety of ages of children. And I love it. And we're doing different things all the time, never boring. There's always something different. I've been doing this for 26 years, and I'm still amazed half the time at what I see and what I hear, in a good way.
I'm sure all of you, when you see successes, it's just, you just latch onto that, and it's just got to be just terrific.
It is.
Yes,
it is.
100%.
Yeah.
It's very fun to see the student that you worked with in first grade graduate. That is so cool to watch.
Yeah.
Yes. I've been around long enough now to actually have that happen.
Correct. Yes.
Quick break. We are talking Spotsylvania County Schools this morning, and this is Mental Health Awareness Month, and a lot to talk about. We will do that with Lisa, Shannon, and Tamara when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Mental Health Awareness Month and Spotsylvania County Schools in this morning. Lisa Dolan is here, the coordinator of school social work. Tamara Files-Store is here, the coordinator of school psychology, and Shannon Winkert is here, the supervisor of elementary school counseling for Spotsylvania County School. So as we talk about mental health awareness, let's just talk about, I guess, the importance for schools. How does this kind of fit into to what you all do?
Well, kids are in school 7.5 hours a day, 180 days a year.
Yeah.
They are right there with us. And what we know about health and wellness and academic achievement is all of it's tied together. We, you know, kind of as a society, we want to separate mental health from physical health, but our body doesn't do that. We're all a part of the same body. And so all of that is connected together. If you get good sleep, you get good nutrition, you feel better, you learn better, you have less stress, all of those components that go into having a successful academic day.
Students must be physically and mentally well in order to be receptive to instruction and to be available for instruction.
And I think it's really important, too, that because they are with us for such a large amount of time, that, you know, we partner with families and that we are seen as that partner to help, because our goal is the same as parents' goal, is to help their students achieve success. And that looks different for every child, and we know that and we see that, so we can be a really good resource for families to help get their child to where they need to be.
I was just gonna say that everybody doesn't come to the starting line the same, and that's where you all and in where your discipline is to try to get everybody.
Yeah, 100%. And I can speak from the school counselor lens with that tier one of we support all students. And that could be from, you know, this student needs a check-in, check-out, and they just need a little bit more with a mentor in the building. This student might just need some extra school supplies. Or the needs are higher across the board. But we really do consult and collaborate with a lot of different teachers, administrators, because again, our goal is really to make sure that our kids are available for the instruction that they receive from our amazing teachers. So if we don't work together, then things can become siloed. So we work really hard to have that community and collaborative approach for students every day.
Boy, I'm sure the teachers have to really appreciate what you all do, though, because like you say, it's teaching is more than just standing in front and in lecturing or working with students. So many students need some or all of the services that you all specialize in.
A good part of, I think, what all of us do is really that consultative support to our educators. You know, how do we meet those needs? And then when you have those students that have the needs that are above and beyond what they can manage in the classroom, how do we add the supplements in there to try to support that? Mm-hmm. I think teachers really enjoy that multidisciplinary approach to working with our kids that are having some challenges.
And as school psychologists, we tend to work more individually or focus on an individual child one mm-hmm. at a time. But it's coming together across those disciplines and talking about, is the child getting good sleep? Is there nutrition available? What is the child's home environment? What else can we consider before we start thinking that there's a problem within the child? It's considering the whole child and what is going on. So it's a cross-disciplinary, whole child approach.
And I guess one of the hopes is that you teach them things like getting enough sleep and nutrition. I mean, even as adults, I fall way short on all of that sometimes.
Yeah.
But at least you're teaching them, and I know what I'm supposed to do.
I always ask parents, do you know how many hours a night your kid needs to sleep? And they always look at me and go, 8? Well, no, as a matter of fact, teenagers need between 8.5 to 10 hours a night of sleep.
You know? Really?
They do. And so, are they getting that? That's kind of like a first place to intervene when you're seeing mm-hmm. challenges, whether it's behavioral or academic or just kind of emotional, is are we getting enough sleep? Because
Absolutely.
They're on their phones or they're playing video games. They still need 8.5 to 10 hours of sleep as teens.
And most of our teens are not getting anywhere near that because of technology, also because of busy schedules, sports, mm-hmm. school. But I think technology is a big impact on the sleep.
And I see it even with our littles, at the elementary level, they may not need as much sleep, but that's always one of the first questions I ask. If a student's struggling, I'm like, are they tired? Are they hungry?
Yeah.
Like, we have to meet those basic needs first. And I feel like our schools do a really good job of that. And we also have to make cultures and climates in our schools that are warm and welcoming and inviting, and where kids and families feel safe and welcomed. So I feel like that's also something that our school-based mental health staff really focuses on, is the overall feel of our schools and how important that is for our students and our community.
It's so interesting because it's so easy to say, especially when you look at test scores, and everybody makes so much of test scores, but there's so much to the whole educational process that, mm-hmm. that begins with just what we've just talked about here, just the health component.
Well, if you look at Maslow's hierarchy mm-hmm. of needs,
yeah. mm-hmm.
Maslow before Bloom is one of those things that teachers really talk about, and basic needs are right there on the bottom. Achievement is like third tier up, mm-hmm. so basic needs and relationships come before achievement.
Yeah.
So we want kids to be successful. We have to make sure that we are meeting those other needs as well.
Yeah. And even from our littles, from our kindergartners through our high schoolers, they must feel welcome. They need to feel like the teachers care. They need to feel like school is a welcoming place that accepts them and supports them.
Yeah. Well, and to have the supports like you have, and then to have the number of people as you all described, the people that you're working with in your each of your disciplines, boy, Spotsylvania County Schools are lucky to have that kind of support across the board, K through 12.
Yes, and we are currently working on our strategic plan for the division, and Joy Mental Health and Wellness is one of the key components that we're working on moving forward to make sure that that is kind of infused into everything that we do across the division, because we see the need and the need is recognized in our community. So I'm really proud that we're continuing our work, and that in every conversation that we're allowed to have a voice about what students might need, because we all are on the same page where, yes, we want students to graduate, we want students to be successful when they leave us and walk across that stage. That is the end goal for all of us. But we have to, again, partnering with families, help make our students future ready. And that is a lot of executive functioning skills, decision making, organizing, problem solving. All of those build into successful future employers.
All those early habits, mm-hmm. those lifelong skills that we're building, which do include things like having conversations about how to manage your emotions, how to make sure you're getting enough sleep, how to organize your day. Mm-hmm. That really is foundational in building the successful adult. And that starts, it's all developmental. Everything is developmental. Yes. It all starts when they're tiny. And so we're building those skills every day with our kids.
It really is important, Shannon, when you think about it, just like you just to start building these habits and being able to work with kids and being able to work with families at a young age, so you kind of get the foundation.
Yeah, and a lot of that is conflict management skills and conflict resolution skills and how do I disagree respectfully, friendship skills, all of those things that then transition into middle school. And and our event does focus a lot on coming up on social media and connections and how we really are trying to make sure that our kids are connected with each other and with adults outside of social media. That human connection is really, really, really important. And that's what we focus on in the schools and are just trying to help share the message of how important it is and that there is an impact of social media. There's a lot of great things with technology, but we also have to be mindful of the human component and how much we need to still make sure that we're building that with our students and families.
Boy, the whole social media stuff is just some educator recently said to me that one of the problems, he said, when we were in school, if there was bullying or there was a situation, you could walk away from it and go home and get away from it. But in social media now, you can't.
That's
you're
correct.
Always being kind of followed.
Yeah. And supporting kids and understanding how to resolve that, how to cope with those situations. Social media is not going away. And so I think our job is to support children in developing the skills and how to cope with it.
One of the books that we're giving away at our event is called The Anxious Generation, which really addresses some of those issues around how social media is changing our kind of culture and climate and how we parent as well as how we educate and how our kids respond to things and how we can manage some of that. The Virginia Mental Health Access Program really talks about the fact that 1 in 5 kids now have mental health, behavioral, emotional kinds of needs. And we need to figure out how to work with that because it, like Tamara said, that's not going away. It's here to stay. So how are we going to make sure that we're building the resiliency our kids need around those things?
We're going to take a quick break and come back and continue this discussion. But again, a reminder that Tuesday is the event at Massaponics High School that really, hopefully, the place is packed with parents and students.
Hopefully.
That's our hope.
Getting good information here.
Absolutely.
Yep. And it starts at 5:30, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. sir.
5:30 at Massaponics on Tuesday. Lisa Dolan is here. Tamara Files-Store is here. Shannon Wingert is here. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Great stuff this morning with Spotsylvania County Schools and mental health. Tamara Files-Store is here. Shannon Wingert and Lisa Dolan from Spotsylvania County Schools as we talk various aspects of mental health. Again, big event is on Tuesday night at Massaponics High School beginning at 5:30. And Lisa, you mentioned that there's a book that yes. some people may be able to get their hands on.
We do have some books that we're going to be giving away. It's called The Anxious Generation. And it is really a great book to kind of look at, particularly social media kinds of things and how that impacts our kids, but, you know, how we can support kids in this new kind of culture and climate that we have with technology being such an important part of our world. So there's going to be the opportunity to for people to walk away with a free copy of that book at our wellness fair.
A community resources fair, wellness discussions, and all of that beginning at 5:30 on Tuesday night at Massaponics High School, and we'll talk about that again before we get out of here this morning. I guess with all of you, and we talked about kind of in the last segment too, that all of these. A lot of times when students are having difficulties, a lot of it can be narrowed down to things like sleep or nutrition, or just there are things that you can start with and then go from there as you try to work on various issues.
Yeah, we always say, and we'll talk about this on our panel at the event, for parents to kind of know what your child's baseline is. How do they, you know, behave and respond on a normal day outside of stressful events? And then if you're noticing a change in that baseline, as they're sleeping a lot more or they're not sleeping at all, they used to be part of teams or active, and now they're kind of more withdrawn, things like that, even their hygiene. Those can all be indicators that something's going on and we need to kind of dig a little bit deeper to see if they need some more supports. So we'll be talking about that concept of baseline a lot, and as a parent, how that can help guide you supporting your child. Because that's what we look at a lot in the school system is, you know, how does a child behave and act on a normal day? And if we do see a significant shift in that, doesn't always mean something, but that is something that we look at and want to help parents just have that in the back of their mind to know when they're working with their children.
I guess it's important too, just the develop habits as children and then even as parents in parenting.
Yes.
Make sure you develop things early and then you can go from there.
And you mentioned the parents. Children are watching their parents, from our little children up to our teenagers. They are watching. Parents are a model. They're also there to support their children. And just having the parents connected to the kids is one of the most important things I think we can recommend, is that connectedness, that observation, like Shannon had mentioned, any change from baseline. So having that connection. But children are watching, and we are modeling all the time. Children are watching all adults. If we're on our phones all the time, if we're not handling conflict resolution well, if we're not emotionally regulating well, and if we're not getting enough sleep, kids are watching.
When I was with my daughter was learning, we were driving, and she rolled through a stop. And I said, well, you got to stop, you know, went through that whole thing. And she said, well, you don't.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Call you on your stuff really quickly.
I remember when my kids were little, of saying, it is very important that we're going to do summer reading this summer. And they're like, well, we never see you. You just read on your phone. You don't read a book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kids are watching. Yes. Yes.
So that is a great. And I guess the other thing is we talk about mental health. There's always such a big focus, especially with kids, about being, you know, physical health, but mental health is got to be on the same plane.
Yeah, it's a mind-body connection. It's all connected together. You can't separate them. My emotional and mental health is going to impact my physical health and vice versa. And so the more we can just say it's just as important, your emotional mental health is just as important as your physical health, and it's all intertwined, and the more we can make sure we're focused on supporting whole child kinds of needs, the better outcomes we have.
And that awareness of the connection between emotional, mental, physical, all of that is one reason why we really wanted to focus on mental wellness for our upcoming event. That whole child, once again, encouraging exercise, the social health, it's all connected, and that's really what we want to focus on, is building those skills through this event.
Yeah, and we, and again, having suggestions or ideas, our Parent Resource Center just posted on our division's webpage a summer resource guide. So that's a really good place that parents and families can go and look at that for resource guides. Again, we'll have Parks and Rec at our event that is going to be talking about all of the summer opportunities, from camps, sports camps to art camps to horseback riding. So again, really looking at all of the different opportunities to keep our students engaged and physically moving as well. We're hoping that we're going to have a dietitian with us as well to talk about how, you know, food and all of that plays into also our physical and mental health. So we're really excited that it is a just a wide range of wellness things to really focus on helping set our families and our students up for success.
And if you need ideas for summer kinds of activities,
yeah.
So definitely the Parent Resource Center is a really good resource. But your school team, so your school-based mental health team, your psychs, your social workers, your counselors, are all going to have some of those resources. And we work really hard to pull together what are the least expensive resources, what are
Absolutely.
The free options for mm-hmm. families, and try to get that information out to people so that we can engage with kids. Spotsy County Schools offers summer enrichment opportunities, mm-hmm. so there's some fairly inexpensive opportunities within our district for families to engage in things like cooking and sewing and different kinds of activities. They're going to build resilience. That's really that, again, that wellness focus for kids.
And I would guess, too, that It helps the students, helps the families, for parents to be parents and not to just say, well, this is something the school ought to be doing. And you're offering a lot of helps to the parents, but parents need to be involved.
Absolutely. We absolutely encourage the parent involvement, and we all, within our different disciplines, we want to involve parents. We want to connect with parents and support parents. That is part of our jobs, too. Supporting the family supports the children.
Engagement is unbelievably important for parents, and we really want to facilitate that engagement, facilitate that connection, not just with the kids, but with the parents as well. So we want to invite people in to come and see, volunteer at your schools, check out what's going on, talk to people that are there. How can you support your kid and your school community as well?
Yes, and we, you know, studies have shown over and over again that students that have parents engaged in their school lives are more likely to have higher grades and test scores, better student behavior, and enhanced social skills. So again, that collaboration and partnership, we truly believe that we can come together as a school and as a community and offer these wellness supports for our students.
Well, Shannon, I know when I was in school, if I knew that my parents knew my teacher or knew people at the school, I was a much better student and more well-behaved and focused because I knew that there was a relationship between my parents and the school, and some things were going to be expected of me. I wasn't going to be able to come up with any excuses.
Parenting is hard work. Takes a village.
Yeah.
And the school wants to be a part of that village mm-hmm. For you and your family.
I think more, I mean, you have really, you, the three of you have opened my eyes as far as just the, what a great resource you are to teachers. Because teachers, it's so difficult now with class sizes and so much expected of them. But you really can go right along and help teachers in what, you know, each of your, whatever discipline, if they're having an issue with mental health or you know, counseling or, you know, needing a social worker, you're all there to be able to assist teachers.
Absolutely. Yes. Like Lisa said before, parenting is hard work, which it absolutely is. Teaching's hard work, too. We recognize that. And they are sometimes being given challenges that are new to them, and they are trying to meet the needs of children's emotional, physical, mental health in many different ways. And we absolutely want to support our teachers and general school staff, as well as the families.
Yeah, I think supporting our teachers is critical, and they need to feel supported themselves. And their mental wellness is also extremely important.
Yes.
You know, so we try to make sure that anytime, you know, we as a division are talking about something, you know, what is the impact on our teachers going to be? How can we support our teachers' mental wellness, from, you know, making sure that they know that we have an employee assistance program and how that works, and having resources available to our staff, because again, it's a hard job, and anything that happens in the community happens and impacts our schools. So again, that very holistic approach to making sure that the adults that are supporting our students are also getting the mental wellness supports that they need, because it's definitely all hands on deck, and everybody needs to be at their best to support our students.
Yeah, the whole all hands on deck. Boy, you see that as we talk today. Mm-hmm. About all of this, it involves everybody. If someone doesn't do something or lets something lapse, it can be catastrophic.
Absolutely. I think we all come from such different perspectives, but it's all about going toward that common goal of supporting the children, the families, the staff. And, you know, Teacher Appreciation Week, I know we're focusing on mental wellness, but Teacher Appreciation Week is next week. And sometimes it's just as simple as giving them a note saying, yeah, we know it's hard work.
Yeah.
We know what you're dealing with. We appreciate you.
Well, somebody, because I didn't write down who wrote it, but who said it, but somebody just mentioned, you know, the stress in the world today. Mm-hmm. And it's everywhere.
It is.
It's every week. It's every day. There's something out there, and especially for kids who don't know how to process it. Mm-hmm. That's, I guess, the challenge for really all of you.
It is, and the statistics are alarming. 14.28% of Virginia's children have at least one major depressive disorder episode. 53% of those don't receive medical treatment, don't receive the services and supports that they receive. Mm. And then of the ones who do receive treatment, only 26% of them actually receive consistent treatment. So that goes back to, we see them, they're there, mm-hmm. they're experiencing those needs. We're gonna do what we can to support them and their families and that experience.
And we have amazing community resources and outpatient providers in our area. We just don't have enough of them. Mm-hmm. And that is a common theme, I think, across the nation right now, is the need outweighs the staffing that we have. So it's just really important, again, that the school is part of the process to help support kiddos. We have great community agencies too that we partner a lot with that help support us and that we are grateful for. But again, everybody's kind of at the max, and so we've all got to put our best foot forward to kind of continue to push our community and our students to a place of wellness.
And that's, again, why we want to provide, like, this wellness event, trying to give the resources, tips, ideas for how to support resiliency and strength within our families and our kids.
We haven't mentioned the May 3rd event, which is at Spotsylvania Mall. They're doing a health fair at the Spotsylvania Mall on May 3rd, and so we're going to be there.
Yep.
Our door prize is a stack of books, because, you know, we're schools.
That's right.
Yep.
But there's going to be a lot of resources that are at the mall this Saturday from 10 to 2.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be talking about health and wellness, and then our May 6th event will kind of piggyback on that and build from that and include some additional activities and things for families. So we're hoping to see people both days. Mm-hmm. Come by and say hi at our table at the mall.
And I love that May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and we draw attention to it. But in our worlds, every month is Mental Health Awareness
right.
Month. So, you know, I think we would love to come back and share more of what we're doing throughout our school year.
I would love that.
So that the community is aware, because, again, it is every day is Mental Health Awareness Day.
Yes.
In our worlds. So it's just really important that we do, you know, celebrate it and acknowledge it and draw attention to it now. But it's a daily thing.
Well, on May 12th, the school board's going to be doing a proclamation about May as Mental Health Awareness Month. So we'll be at the school board meeting, and they'll be reading the proclamation. And then we have Spirit Week the next week. I don't know, Shannon, you want to share what everybody's doing for Spirit Week?
Yeah, and I love that it's division-wide. We need to show that unified message that, you know, all schools support mental health awareness, and all students and families are encouraged to participate. And we have something as simple as wear green to support Mental Health Matters, band together, wear your favorite t-shirt, because as we said, connection and togetherness is really important. Wellness Wednesday, workout attire. That's my favorite day. Thursday is Maui mindfulness, just being a mindfulness and how effective that is, that strategy. And then Friday ends with No I in Team. Wear your favorite sports or team shirt, again, to send home that message that this is a collective effort.
Now, this has been a great show, just because it just shows so often when something happens in a school, they'll in the news story it will say, you know, counselors will be on hand. Mm-hmm. To talk to you all and put a face to it and just see how much you care makes that whole a whole understanding.
Yeah, and I think too, I mean, counselors are on hand, but we also have comprehensive teams that go out. So social workers and psychs are part of that crisis response team. So it's really, you know, and we use each other because we have to support each other, because when there is stuff happening in the community, we're the first kind of team that's called on. So we also support our own mental health and wellness and try to model that for schools as well, because it's really important that we acknowledge that the work is hard.
Well, and this is our community as well. We all live here.
Right.
This is our world. So it's important on so many different levels.
Quick break. We're going to wrap this up when we come back. Lisa Dolan is here. Tamara File Store is here. Shannon Winger here from Spotsylvania County Schools. Mental Health Awareness Month. There's a big event at the Massaponics High School on Tuesday, and also Spotsylvania Mall tomorrow. And we'll talk about that when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Work. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Wow, powerful show this morning. Spotsylvania County Schools and mental health and what's available in schools. Shannon Wingert is the superintendent of elementary school counseling. She's here along with the Tamara File Store. She is with... counseling, is that
coordinator of school psychology services.
School psychology.
It's
I didn't finish. I wrote it over on the side. Anyway, and Lisa Dolan with social workers. Couple of things you mentioned tomorrow. You'll be at the Spotsylvania Town Center and doing all kinds of information.
We'll be there from 10 to 2 for a mental wellness event.
Yep, and we have activities that kids can engage in. Little fortune tellers that they can make that just talk about different coping strategies. Mm. So things that give away coloring books for kids. And then we have some resources, stress balls,
bubbles,
different things to give away. So, come find us at the mall and check out all of the freebies.
And then Tuesday night at Massaponics High School, all kinds of information with this community fair. Really a great opportunity for families.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a lot of fun. Big event, lots of people. The vendors are going to be there. They're going to give out information. They're going to talk to kids. We have activities. We've got stress balls, desk drumming, yoga. I think we've got a sound bath, lots of different kinds of things that kids and parents can engage in that's all around that focus of wellness and mental health. And then we're going to be your panel. So we're going to have a conversation about health and wellness for our students and families.
I got the panel first.
You did.
got to the panel
you
first.
Did.
Yeah. Yes. Now you got it would be worth just to come and hear you all talk and about all the needs and the passion that you have. And so often parents don't always pay attention to things. And just to be able to hear what's available sometimes. I mean, we'd be like, I didn't know that was available.
Yeah, the panel's going to be, you know, we have some specific topics that we'll cover, but then there's also going to be the opportunity for participants to ask questions of us. So if you have a specific question or are looking for information, please come out because there will be that opportunity for participants to engage in the panel conversation with us.
And there'll be lots of vendors there with suggestions for what to do over the summer, how to support your child as far as socially keeping them engaged over the summer.
And we're feeding you.
Oh, yes.
And we're giving you a book. So come join us and have a little bit of fun Tuesday night.
It starts at 5:30 and goes till
7:30.
So lots of good information. And these kinds of things, a lot of times you'll see when you mention different vendors there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Different organizations there are things that are available that you've never heard of, never knew existed.
Yep, that's our goal, is to show you some of the available resources within the community, the library, the Parks and Rec, the YMCA, a wide variety of options.
Shannon, I like when you talked about it's Mental Health Awareness Month, but it's Mental Health Awareness Day every day, you know, almost Mental Health Awareness Hour with what you all deal with. Especially this as school starts to wind down now and giving parents some options for the summer.
Yeah, and sometimes that transition from into summer can be stressful for students. You'll start to see a little bit of anxiety because, you know, the kids crave routine and structure. They won't admit it, but they crave it. We all crave routine and structure. So, you know, that kind of goes away a little bit during the summertime. And everybody gets a chance to kind of reset and recalibrate, but that can cause some stress and anxiety for kiddos.
So again, WFVA,
giving the views community expressed some by the host and guests on how to keep that moving forward during the summer to keep their students engaged and routine and structure because it is really important.
Thank you all. See you in the morning.
Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.